As a female who's been on the game for 15 years now, I've met a load of creeps, but only a few made me feel unsafe. And to start off with, I've always had a laptop ever since I was in high school, a luxury back then that I worked hard to earn with my own money. My mom almost took my hard-earned money for drugs, but luckily money I made in tips was in cash, so it was a lot easier to hide away. At first, my mom was mad I'd bought myself the laptop, but she soon forgot, just like everything else. My dad, he could care less, and my older brother already had his own. So, I started playing WoW with him at 14. Back then, girls were unheard of, so I got the usual creeps who usually backed off after hearing my age, though sometimes it was just because they were young too. But not this guy. This guy loved that I was underage. I was about 16 and used to creepy guys at this point, no longer a noob at the game or fending off the creeps. It was no surprise a new guy in the guild started hitting on me right away. Now, I was 16, dumb, young, horny, and stupid, but I knew I wasn't going to find love on WoW, where you knew no one in real life. Plus, at the time, I had this ultimate crush on a guy I couldn't have because he was my brother's best friend. But in my mind, back then, I only wanted him. It was easy to turn down guys, despite being desperate as hell for one. But that all changed after my brother's friend went off to college. I had a part-time job I worked with him, but girls at work always surrounded him, and I became demoralized that I'd never find love. Cue 19-year-old guy on WoW, who made me feel wanted. I had a camera phone, so I could send and post pictures at that age, and back then I mostly used Facebook, MySpace, and PhotoBucket. I lost a lot of weight my sophomore year, so I posted confidently bikini pics and sexy pictures thinking I'd lure the attention of my brother's friend, whom was 19. So when this other guy, who was also 19, said he liked me, it didn't faze me. He looked the part in his photos, and his younger brother was around my age, or so I thought. He was extremely attractive in all of his pictures, and even proved it was him in his pictures by holding specific items I'd asked for. He started paying for my WoW subscription, which in the long run, I realized was to get my home address and real name. I was so stupid and heartbroken over my brother's friend, though, that years of teaching myself online safety and the ability to be strong against flirts was all but lost in the head fog. We'd talk for hours on Ventrilo, and he'd make me feel pretty. I was completely blinded by this point. He sent me gifts, and I didn't even question how he knew my address. Then he offered to drive and pick me up, and only then did I suddenly get cold feet. I had a good friend on WoW, someone my brother met at PAX and joined the guild. He's still one of my best friends to this day even, though we both aren't particularly fond of my older brother. He's 6 years older than me, but he's never tried anything. Honestly, he was more like the brother that I lacked. Well, at least till I was 24 and single for the first time, we did hook up, but that's because we were friends for so long. The distance led to it not turning into anything, though. He caught on to it through conversation, and he acted as my words of wisdom in a time I was lacking any of my own. He saw something fishy when I couldn't. I told my friend I was scared to meet him, because, dumb teenager logic, I thought he wouldn't like me. My friend chimed in, though. You shouldn't meet anyone off the internet at your age. I told him about the gifts, and I swear, I've never been so heavily scolded like this in my life, not even by my parents, but he always cared like that. He asked me why I would give my address to someone I've never met, and the expensive gifts I was receiving were not something the average 19-year-old would be able to afford. None of this had ever clicked for me, of course, because I was lonely, and trying to prove, I don't know what, to myself, my crush, or something, that I could get a boyfriend. Just like that, I told the man it wasn't wise to meet in person, and my parents said I wasn't allowed to. And that's when it turned dark, though. At first, it was just pestering, over and over, guilting me over gifts he'd given me, and encouraging me to defy my parents. While he kept bothering me, though, it never once occurred to me that one day he'd just lose his shit. While my friend was worried shitless about the guy having my address, going as far as to drive the 11 hours to my house and explain the situation to my father, as I'd refused to tell him out of fear of getting in trouble at the time, all the while taking his spring break in my state instead of his own with his friends. There's a reason he's still one of my best friends. He has a little sister of his own as well, and she's my age, so I guess his protective nature is natural. Eventually, my friend made me block the guy as well, and that was that. This guy was pissed off. He'd go on different accounts to accuse me of gold digging and using him. Luckily, though, my friend was smart enough and had the foresight to change my WoW password, even paid for my account for me, taking this guy off it entirely as one of this guy's threats was to delete my account. It didn't end there, though. It just got worse. He'd consistently find ways to message me and harass me about how horrible I was, until about a month had passed by. I was walking home from school, about a 2-mile walk in wealthy suburbs of New England, which I had done for years. Many kids did, as it was a very safe town with no crime in it or the surrounding towns. Without a second thought, I took off with my 100-pound backpack, maybe an overestimate, and put my headphones in and started my 20-minute walk home. It was very cold, so I had earmuffs over my headphones, only serving to drown out the sound even more. I swear, if I could talk to myself as a kid, I'd probably slap myself all over for this stupidity. Because WoW Guy knew I walked home every day, as I'd talked about it with him constantly. He knew my address, but I'd never thought twice. I was on the back roads walking home, and honestly, easy to map from my school to home as it was pretty straightforward, with only one turn. At halfway home, in between songs though, I could hear a vague crunching sound of tires rolling over gravel down the road slowly. I turned around, only to see a tinted black car. This made it so I couldn't see anything of the person in the front. I jogged out of the driveway I was standing in front of, assuming it was someone waiting to turn in, but they didn't turn in. The roads were dead, and it didn't make sense for him to not just go around. I swear, the saying that you go cold when you're terrified is absolutely true. It could have been a warm summer's day at 95 degrees, and my inside still would have been chilly. My heart just sank, and my breathing became uncontrollable. I felt like I had no control over my body, as I realized whoever this was following me. My blood truly ran cold, and my hand shook as tears formed and my skin felt tight. My body felt like it wasn't ready for fight or flight, but simply instead chose to freeze there and die. It only got worse as the second time I turned my head, I saw the car stop. I stopped. The whole world stopped. I couldn't stop staring. Just frozen, breathing like all my school books were over my chest. Crying silently, my eyes hurt with no tears or sound as I just stood there watching. The door opened after what felt like hours, but was probably only a few seconds, or maybe a minute. It was him. It was the attractive man from the photos. Not a catfish, but something seemed very different. At first, I thought it was his angry expression, but I soon realized he was definitely not 19. He must have been at least 30 years old. I could barely think over the sound of my heart racing as it froze me in place. I felt like I was about to throw up as he spoke to me, told me to get in the car or he'd light my house on fire and kill everyone right in front of me. I honestly just couldn't move. I couldn't reach for my phone, as his words had scared me still. Yet like magic, we both failed to notice a little old lady on her porch watching the events play out. Suddenly, I heard her call out, "You get away from that girl right now, or I'll burn you alive." We both turned to meet her eyes, the pissed-off small lady, about 60 or 70, with white hair. I think she noticed my frozen in fear state, as she told me to get over to her quickly. Like that, I ran over to her, tossing off my heavy brick of a backpack. It was obvious he was unsure what to do next, as he stood there and watched me run behind her. I'm sure it must have been quite a sight to see this tiny, thin old lady standing protectively in front of a teenage girl, yelling at a grown man to go away. Like that, Savior Number 2 joined the battle, though, as her husband stepped out. The guy looked like he had been through a war or two, with a shotgun, of all things, and a booming voice. He pointed his gun at the man. "I've shot and killed men for lesser reasons. You better leave right now." The man hopped into his car and sped off as I simply collapsed. All that fear just came out as I cried harder and harder. My brain tried to sift through the past few months of mistakes. After calming me down enough to speak in non-hyperventilating words, she asked me if I knew him. I told her kind of, but only online from a video game. I didn't know him in real life. Of course, explaining it like that wasn't easy, and her husband couldn't quite grasp what I was talking about. She got on the phone with the school counselor, her daughter, apparently, and told her my name. I was well known to her daughter, ironically. There were only about 250 or less kids in the school, and the town itself was very small. Many staff at our school had family in town as well. The kids were all related to each other by their own children or their siblings' children. It was the kind of town that if you didn't leave by a certain age, you'd be stuck there forever. Honestly, it seems kind of ironic, but entirely not a huge surprise. The counselor was well aware of my family and my mom's drug addiction, as child services had been involved more than a few times. She came by in 10 minutes to pick me up and asked me a ton of questions, of course knowing I didn't want to involve the police, as I was scared of being taken away from my parents yet again. FYI, foster care was worse than a drugged-out mom on prescriptions. We weren't rich, but we were more well-off than many. Though my mom worked, my dad kept my mom on a tight budget to keep her from buying prescriptions from Canada that she wasn't prescribed, hence her trying to take my money. She knew all of this, and knew, though rough, I was better off than foster care, which was a gamble with losing odds at best. Plus, 2 more years and I'd be off to college anyway, so we didn't involve the cops. She did make me promise to take the bus every day, though, and to inform my dad of the situation. She also called my dad at work to inform him and had a teacher make sure I got on the bus every day till I graduated, even. It really sucked, but I understood and I was still grateful. If it ended there, it would have been nice, but there's still a bit more. And 2 days after this, my dad had to fly out for business. My brother was off at college, so it left me with my high mom, who promised my dad she'd stay sober while he was gone. I was used to helping her while she was high, though, and it was like taking care of a child. I was on edge, though, as every creak in that big house from the 60s, cat stirs at night, and dogs barking outside set me on edge. I could barely sleep. My friend from WoW called every night just to make sure I was okay for the past month. I lived out in the middle of the woods, next to a huge river in my backyard, so there was still a lot of wildlife outside in the dead silence of cold months. Running water is, after all, an important source of water when lakes freeze over. I had been used to all of the bumps in the night, cats coming and going, dogs barking at every animal in the yard, but it all seemed new to me as I laid in bed trying to drown out my fears. The house I grew up in was a 6-bedroom house. I had a little sister too, but she stayed with my grandma in another state, per court order, while I was allowed to choose due to her only being 9 and me being 16. The other rooms were used as a game room, office for my dad, and guest room, mostly for when my sister visited my grandma and she had a room. So in a large house like that, in the middle of the woods, it was scary to be virtually all alone, because my mom was essentially defenseless. I was letting my last cat inside for the night. At the end of my long driveway, between my neighbor and our house, was parked a black car. I quickly shut the door and locked it, after my cat got inside. I made sure all 5 doors were locked, and even put cardboard on the glass doors. Hoping, I guess, that if that was him, it would delay him if he tried to break them. I went and turned off all the lights, got all my cats into one room, so I knew they were safe. Here's the thing about my dog. He's untrained for the most part, but was basically a giant lab puppy in his mind. But he growled at strangers and didn't bark like he did at animals. We had to keep him outside if we had guests, but he never bit anyone, and if you spent enough time around him, he'd eventually accept you. He also didn't growl at all strangers either, so he wasn't the most reliable guard dog either. He was big and had a deep bark. I mulled over what to do as I sat there in the dark with my dog, waiting for shadows to pass by the windows. I eventually went upstairs to my mom's room and woke her up from her sleeping pill stupor. Groggy and still kinda high, she didn't quite grasp what I was telling her until I started crying. She sort of sobered up a bit and asked me to get her some coffee. I did. All the while, I was watching my dog's every move. I could tell he could sense something before I could. As my mom sobered up, the fear in her eyes grew. Eventually, she got the idea to call my neighbors and ask them if they knew the car. After all said no, two of the men went out of their house to check it together. The car was empty. At closer inspection, though, they noticed it was a newer car, a Lexus, and in the passenger seat was a laptop. The car was locked, but with a flashlight, you could see somewhat into the tinted windows. They never told us why, but something they saw in the car prompted them to immediately call the local sheriff, only one, and he lived in town, sort of thing. We were too small to have a police department of our own. He drove over about 15 minutes later, ran the plates, and asked the houses around about it. Apparently, it was a rental car from Ohio. He was calling to see who it was rented to, but he just couldn't find it. He stuck around in his car for about an hour until someone came out of the woods and ran back as the cop turned his spotlight on him. I couldn't see what he was pointing at with his light, as it was the side of my house and I was looking at the front. I guess he called for backup, as three other cop cars showed up in 5 minutes from the neighboring town and highway patrol. A lady cop got out and I asked to speak with her. I was pretty shy back then, but I don't know, something about a female cop made me feel comfortable to open up to. I told the gist of the story. She then called my counselor, who backed it up, also explaining why I was scared of the cops because of my history with foster care. My sober mom joined me and hugged me, doing her typical apologetic routine, but also offering much-needed comfort, as she called my dad, too. Eventually, the lady cop asked if she could take a look around the house to see if things were secure and get any information from my laptop about him. In her search, she found something I hadn't thought about checking. The basement door was not just unlocked, but blown wide open. It's never unlocked, so I didn't even think to check it as our backyard floods in the spring due to beaver dams. It's got extra seals and things to prevent the basement from flooding. Again, but the stuff sealing it was mostly sandbags, and all those things had been moved to the side. Thankfully, the door at the bottom of the stairs was still locked, though. It had some damage, like someone had tried breaking it open. He had had access to half of the basement that was storage, though. The door between the sections was like a front door, not an indoor door, as in the summer, my dad left the hatch open to dry out the basement and adjust pool settings, as it was basically the pool house. Upon noticing this, my dad confirmed he had not left it open. My suspicions that the black car was his were pretty much confirmed. As we walked through the house to make sure everything was still safe, she got on my laptop as the others fanned out to search the woods. I gave her everything I had, his photos, username. She even checked to see if his credit card info was still on my account. Unfortunately, it wasn't. The last few digits were, though. She then asked to take my laptop for a few days as she thought she could get some good evidence from it. I asked her to please not damage it and return it as soon as possible because I used it a lot. Before smartphones, it was all I had. After a few hours and onlooking neighbors had gone to bed, the cops came back empty-handed but left a cop outside our house and towed the man's car away. From what the lady told me, what permitted such fear was in the car. There were two guns, some sort of rope, and a pair of handcuffs. The guy who ran back into the dense woods was wearing a winter ski mask as well. So eventually, I tried to lay down and go to sleep, but pretty sure I was going to call out sick tomorrow and kept my cats inside for the day. I was too restless to sleep, of course. Every sound made me too scared. My mom slept with the dog in her room, and my cat slept in my room most nights by choice, as my room was usually the warmest. At 3:30 a.m.-ish, I heard a knock at the back door, and I heard a man say, "Undercover police officer, open up." I was still awake as I walked downstairs to make out a man standing in the dark with a gun. As he saw me, he demanded I let him in now, as he needed to speak to me. Something felt off. My gut knew it before I did, that this guy's voice seemed forced, like someone purposefully making their voice deeper. And just why was he at the back door? I turned on a light outside, and sure enough, it was him. I screamed as quickly as I could. As he heard that, he started pounding the door hard. It wasn't a loud horror movie scream, but more like a gasping scream. I don't think the fear in my body had a loud scream to let out. The banging was pretty loud, though, as I ran to the front to see if the officer was still outside. He was, but he wasn't getting out of his car. I didn't want to run outside, as I'm not a fast runner, so I turned the porch lights on and off a couple of times. Still nothing. After a minute, my dog came bolting down to the door, barking and growling, nearly foaming at the mouth, soon followed by my mom, who yelled she had a gun. She didn't, but a bluff is a bluff, I guess. Somehow, during all of this, the cop outside had snuck around the back of his own car and had his gun pointed at the man, yelling at him to put his gun down. I hid as the rest went down, but he was arrested. No trial needed me to attend, and my statement was enough. Come to find out, he wasn't even American. The car was rented under his friend's name, and after all was done, he was deported back to Canada. I assumed something would prevent him from ever coming back to the USA, as the cop reassured me he would never see me again now. I don't know exactly what he was charged with, but I think my dad said aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, attempted kidnapping, and something else. It also turned out he was 32 years old, not 19, so I assume me being a minor carried a charge as well. Life moved on from there. I had plenty of creeps before and after, but he was by far the worst from WoW. I had a couple from streaming as well, but I was an adult, and much better at staying safe online then. The only one worse than this was a guy that was my ex-boyfriend's cousin, who made my life hell for years. But that's another story for another time. Back when I was attending a university, I used to work on campus at one of the dining halls during the dinner/night shift. I lived in the next town over, since it was cheaper to live in a crappy little apartment out of town than to live on campus in the dorms. But I didn't own a car, so I had to take the bus. One night, I had just gotten off a shift at work. My feet were killing me, and I was completely exhausted as I slowly made my way to the bus stop. I noticed a man much older than me sitting on one of the two benches at the otherwise empty stop. I didn't pay too much attention to him. I simply sat down on the second bench and listened to some music while waiting for the bus to arrive. The first sign that things were starting to get weird was when I kept noticing out of the corner of my eye that he was staring at me. At first, I thought I might just be imagining it, so I looked over and caught him quickly turning his head to look away. Okay. So he was staring at me. This wasn't completely out of the ordinary, since being a young college girl seemed to give me a bit of attention from older men. Like I did with the usual creepers, I tried to just ignore him, but that was a mistake. Again, out of the corner of my eye, I saw him gaze over at me, but instead of just staring this time, he got up and walked over to sit next to me instead. I continued listening to my music, hoping that he'd see the earbuds and take the hint that I wasn't interested in having a conversation. Instead, though, this man literally pulled the earbud out of my ear. "Hey there, sweetheart," he said, as my head snapped to look at him in shock. I should have told him off for touching my things and demanded he leave me alone, but it was so startling that I was just sort of frozen and didn't want to make him mad. "Hi," I replied quietly. He introduced himself as Mike, telling me that he lived in the area and it was always nice to see pretty girls like me at the university bus stop. He explained that he was a real man, unlike the boys I went to school with, and that I should go home with him that night. I was a shy, scared virgin who had never had a man be as bold as this to my face. I say to my face because I certainly had gotten my fair share of unsolicited private pictures online by that point, but I digress. I didn't know how to respond, so I didn't. That didn't stop Mike from continuing to explain to me, though, all of the fun things he wanted to do with me at his place that night. He got into very graphic detail. The things he described started out with the basic things you'd expect, but escalated to him asking if I liked being choked until I turned purple and passed out on the bed. I wished there was anyone else at that bus stop, but it was only the two of us, in the dark alone. I counted the seconds until the bus would arrive. Then Mike took things to a different level of shocking by suddenly telling me, "Hey, listen, the demons want me to ask for your phone number, and they say you should give it to me, or you won't like what happens." He actually had the audacity to start stroking my hair. His hand was gentle, but I didn't want him touching me at all. This was shocking for a number of reasons. The demons. I wouldn't like what would happen. Why was he suddenly touching me? Just what the hell was this guy talking about? As though he could read my mind, he suddenly called out, "My therapist. She knows the demons are real. I told her about them. She says that I'm not crazy. They're real." He laughed and then abruptly stopped. "Now give me your phone number like they said," he demanded. As his hand stroked my hair for the last time, he stopped and gripped the back of my neck, still gentle, but even more terrifying. I was scared and obviously didn't want to give him my phone number, but he was taking out his phone, and I knew that he was going to call the number I gave him to make sure I wasn't lying. He still had his hand gripped on the back of my neck, so I reluctantly gave him my real phone number. Stupid, I know, but I was right. He immediately called to check. All I could think about was just not making this guy angry long enough to get away from him. Then I'd block his number. Thankfully, the bus came just moments later. I sat down as close to the front of the bus near the bus driver as I possibly could, since the bus was essentially empty. Mike decided, of course, to sit directly across from me. At this point, I had tried listening to music again, hoping that being on the bus and him having my phone number would signal to him the end of our conversation. However, at that moment, he decided to reach over and unzip my sweatshirt, revealing my work shirt and the name tag which I had unfortunately forgotten to remove in my haste to leave work that night. I hadn't told him my name yet. Abigail. What a beautiful name. Our daughter. I think she'll be named Celeste. I shouldn't have been shocked at this point, but I was. I had stopped listening to music again and zipped my sweatshirt back up, which made him laugh. "You won't need that soon enough, anyway." He winked at me, implying how he planned to undress me even further that night. At one stop, Mike tried to convince me to get off the bus with him. I told him no, that I was tired, and that I just wanted to go home. He said okay, and he stayed on the bus with me. I knew that must have been his stop, so the fact that he was staying on the bus worried me. I was sure this meant that he was planning on coming home with me instead. "Baby," Mike whispered to me. I tried to ignore him, but he repeated himself louder. He had the most unsettling smile on his face as I asked him what. He laughed. "The demons say you smell nice." I was terrified and felt like I was going to throw up by the time the bus stop arrived. I lived in an apartment alone, and I didn't want him to know where I lived. Despite my body being exhausted and sore from work, the adrenaline kicked in, and I bolted off the bus and ran straight home. I made it inside and locked the door. As I looked through the peephole, I didn't see him. I went carefully to peek out my window and saw him standing near the bus stop, gazing around. He took out his phone, and sure enough, I started getting a call from an unknown number since I hadn't saved his. I ignored it. When he hung up, I started getting several texts asking where I'd gone, how he didn't like hide and seek, and how the demons just wanted to have fun, but I was being a little bitch about it. I was so scared because he knew which apartment building I lived in, where I worked, where I went to school, my phone number, and my name. The only good thing that made me feel slightly relieved was that he didn't know which specific apartment I lived in. That's when he started yelling outside. There were no specific words said, just these weird wordless wails of what I can only assume are frustration and anger. I blocked his number and kept all the lights in my apartment off as I cried with my back to the front door. Maybe I should have called the police, but my brain was so frazzled that I didn't even think of that until the next day, and by then all I knew about him was that he was a mentally unstable man, probably named Mike, who hadn't actually done any physical harm to me, I didn't think it was worth it. In hindsight, I know I made a lot of stupid mistakes during this experience. I ended up moving away entirely at the end of that term of school for unrelated reasons, but until then, I switched to day shifts at work and was paranoid every single night. Thankfully, I never saw the man again, though. What is up, guys? Blue Spooky here, as always. Thank you guys so much for watching, especially if you made it this far to the end of the video. As always, please be sure to like, share, and subscribe if you feel so inclined. If you have any criticisms on how I can make the videos better, or any thoughts about it in general, please be sure to leave your thoughts in the comments below. As well, in the description below the video, there will be links to all of my social media, including my Facebook, Gmail, Twitter, and Twitch accounts. If you guys want to chat, please be sure to send me a message on any of those. I'll try to get back to you as soon as possible. Please be forewarned, though, that I tend to go on Facebook less than the others, so it may take me a little bit longer to respond to you. If you want to send in a story, or you have a story that you'd like to be read, then please be sure to take a look at the description and send me a message on any one of those sites. If you do decide to send in a story, please be sure to include the name of the story if it has one, the theme of the story if it has one as well, and how you would like to be credited in the video the story appears in, and how you would like to be credited in the description of the video the story appears in. And please be sure to include as much detail as you are comfortable with, and make sure to follow proper grammar at least a little bit. That way it will be easier for me to read, and it will also be long enough to put into a video. If you guys are curious about the music used in the video, it's always listed in the description in the order which it appears, and I have links to the artists as well. I usually use Doblado Studios and Miyuji, so that's usually what you're going to find there. If you're curious about the art in the video, my art guy Alan always does all of my art for the channel. He's a very good friend of mine, and I have links to all of his social media as well, so if you like his stuff, be sure to check him out. He does commissions as well, I'm pretty sure, so if you like it, you can definitely get some good quality products from him. I don't think there's too much new updates today, other than the fact that I'm very excited for the PlayStation 5 coming out, and I just ordered Pikmin 3 on the Switch, so hopefully that gets here soon. I've been waiting like 3 years for that because nobody bought a Wii U. So yeah, that's my news for now. Be sure to let me know how you guys are doing as well. Thank you guys so much for watching, and I hope you guys have a great day.